bringing you around the world right from your desktop. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. In the next hour, Dr. Pat showcases some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Get ready to live life full out. Here's your host, Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Yep, you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. And what I want to say is this is still the home of crust busting. Many of you know this show. Many of you know me introducing the concept that I did about 3 years ago called crust busting. And for those of you that are not familiar with what this means, it's crust is anything you think, feel, or believe that stops you from living life full out. Now, that metaphor came to me, as so many other ideas have in my life, through my connection with spirit. And, you know, I get to talk to a lot of really amazing people doing amazing things. But I've got to tell you that Elizabeth Cunningham, as we would say, is one of today's major crust busters. And what do I mean by that? She is kicking butt and taking no prisoners because her book, and the book I'm referring to, The Passion of Mary Magdalene, presents to you a story about Mary Magdalene that you have probably not heard before. And why is this an act of courage, as we would say? Well, there aren't many people talking this talk. And what she's doing is talking it and walking it. Let me just give you an idea of what this book is about, or what folks are saying this book is about. The Passion of Mary Magdalene, of course, gives readers the chance to meet the gospel's most provocative woman face to face. And, you know, many of us, and I'll just say this, many of us that are familiar with Mary Magdalene, and I know for me, my personal story has always been, I want to know more about this woman. I want to know more about her relationship to Jesus. I want to know more about why I'm attracted to this woman. But first of all, let me just say this, that, you know, this book is a book that will take you through passion of your own. It will take you through the emotions, everything from, at least what I found myself going through, everything from moments of laughter to listen to the sort of sarcasm, sort of the, you know, the crisp personality that comes through, and then moments of asking myself, you know, why couldn't things have been said differently about her? Now, let me tell you a little bit about Elizabeth Cunningham. She is a descendant from 9 generations of Episcopal priests and the author of 4 previous novels, spent 15 years researching and writing the trilogy, which included her travels to Israel, Rome, and the British Isles. Now, the characters in the book are based on either on people found in history books or in the Gospels themselves. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about Elizabeth, but her passion and this book has won support of reviewers and bookstores around the country. As a matter of fact, we're catching her somewhere between Seattle and New York. And Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on it.
Well, we're excited to have you. Now, you and I were talking about your tour, and I wanted to ask you, I actually want to start this conversation asking you about what it has been like touring the country, introducing people to a book that's called The Passion of Mary Magdalene.
Well, actually, what it's been like is sort of living the book and having to bring a kind of good news that people haven't heard before. And I just feel like I'm having to live it. And that always happens with my books. I write about something, and I don't write about the past. I seem to be writing about the future, which is a little scary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes, there's many stories that really I feel like I am in the terrain of the Gospels, but not necessarily the Gospels as you read them in the Bible, but as you might read them in my book. It's pretty wild.
It's pretty wild, and at the same level, I don't know about, the other folks that have read it, pretty wild in a sense for most people, they're stuck in a certain belief,
mm-hmm.
and you're introducing people to another way of thinking.
Well, yeah, and I think what's really different about my book is that it not only is not the traditional view of Mary Magdalene, but it's also not the current view of Mary Magdalene, which in my view, I think people want to maybe understandably defend her, clean her up, make her respectable, and I'm not very interested in respectability.
You're not, and I think that leads us to a question. I mean, the way that Mary Magdalene is portrayed would leave some people scratching their heads saying, you know, in a world, this is an interesting question. I don't know where this is coming from. In a world where people want to look at a cleaned up version of everything,
yeah,
you really, you know, present, and I say this, you know, metaphorically, but the naked Mary Magdalene, so to speak.
Yeah, it's very hard to keep clothes on that woman, including as she came to me in a sort of 20th century incarnation first, a woman named Madge, who ended up being a peace prostitute. She was also a painter. She had to support herself by being a prostitute. So that's one of the controversial things I'm doing, because the old view of Mary Magdalene was that she was a penitent prostitute. That was trotted out by some pope, I think, in the 9th century. And the new view is she was not. There is no evidence, which I agree, there is no evidence at all. Anyway, one way or another, we don't know.
Yes.
But people want to see her as the chief disciple or perhaps as the secret bride. And I don't see anything wrong with those points of view. But I really wanted her to be. I didn't want her. She wanted to be this woman who came to me, whose name is Maeve, the wild Celtic feisty Mary Magdalene, an unrepentant prostitute. Because I feel like one of the things that got edited out of Christianity was, how do we deal with sexuality? How do we deal with women, with women's bodies, with our own bodies, whether we're male or female? And so I couldn't back away from it. And I felt, and one of the things that Maeve says in the book is there's a difference between a stereotype and an archetype. People object to the stereotype of Mary Magdalene as a whore, but stereotypes are used to control people, and archetypes explode that and open out and lead to liberation. So, I have much more to say about that, but that is one of the controversial things I did, was to go with that, but to transform it, to reclaim it, to, step into it in a different way. Because I feel like, you know, as long as people can control you by threatening to call you a whore, then we're not free. So how about if you said, yes, thank you.
Oh, yes,
and
exactly.
I did my job well.
And you do a great job. And, you know, what I love about this is I've interviewed Carolyn Mace a number of different times. Carolyn Mace's work is in Sacred Contracts. And what she defines in terms of archetypes, she gives each of us four archetypes. All of us have the same four archetypes.
Hmm.
And one of them is the prostitute. And when you hear her talk about this, and, you know, when I do segments on my show and people are really confronted with the fact that this may be an archetype that you have, the responses are all over the board.
Yes,
so
they
I
are.
Can only
they
imagine
are.
What you have. How have people been receiving the idea of Mary Magdalene being this prostitute? And at the same time, what you're doing is you're opening the door for each and every one of us to explore what aspect of us
mm-hmm.
has that archetype as well.
Well, there's been quite a range of response. There's been the range of response of, there's been people who have been indignant because they feel that her reputation was damaged and injured and this does a disservice to women. So I've had that response. Had another woman the other day who I believe was Roman Catholic in background who was sitting there saying, I've never been able to see myself in the Gospels. I mean, I'm not the Virgin Mary. And, you know, she actually, I don't believe that she was a prostitute, but the idea was very appealing to her. And she said, I could have been. That could be me. And then one of the great stories that I have is that there was one place I was in L.A. where they hadn't set up for me terribly well, and there was no one there. And I was kind of looking forward to having a night off, and I went into the bathroom, and I said to my character, I talk to her all the time, I said, well, all right, if there's supposed to be someone here, you send them, because I'm ready to go home. And I came out, and there was a very short, small man, and he was gazing adoringly at the cover, which has this gorgeous, actually historical painting of Mary Magdalene, 1878, someone's idea of Mary Magdalene. It's beautiful, but she's very naked. And he said, "I've never seen her so beautiful, so unashamed." And I said, "Sit down." And he sat down, and I did my full-out performance for him, which includes some really bluesy singing and a memorization of the prologue. I mean, it's not just your standard book reading. And then we talked, and what he wanted to talk about, which he had never spoken about with anyone, was his experience of going to prostitutes and what they had done for him and how they had healed him.
Mm.
And, you know, when I said, "I think prostitutes can be healers," he said, "Oh, yes, they can be healers." He said, "What they do is a gift."
Mm.
And
well,
so I asked him, I said, "Next time you go, please take the book, tell the horse there's somebody on their side." He said, "Yes, I will." So that's the kind of experience
that's,
I've been having.
You must have some unbelievable stories about what you're discovering and what people are sharing with you. We're going to really tap into them, but I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't contemplate for our listeners doing a little singing, because
I would.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, more with Elizabeth Cunningham. This is a fabulous show. We're talking about the Passion of Mary Magdalene, and of course, this is the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. If you've got questions, comments, want to chime in, want to speak with Elizabeth, of course, you can give us a call right here at Voice America and give us your questions and answers at 866-472-5788. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, get ready, fasten your seatbelt, lots to talk about.
The Authority in Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Occasional digestion got you down? After meals, do you feel bloated, heavy, tummy hurt? Does occasional heartburn and indigestion or a just plain tired feeling take the energy out of your day? Vital digestive enzymes are needed to properly digest food, and E12 provides them all. Customers often report a dramatic life improvement. Visit digesteasy.com. That's digesteasy.com. And discover E12 food enzymes, the digestive secret thousands have benefited from.
Within each of us is a call to greater life. Now, Mary Manon Morrissey, minister, author, and teacher, helps you discover your own greater life in a brand new interactive radio show. Introducing Life Solutions with Mary Manon Morrissey. Real people, real problems, real solutions. Life Solutions Radio, Mondays at 5 p.m., part of the Dr. Pat family.
You're invited to attend American Pacific University's Clinical Hypnotherapy Seminar, August 11th through the 13th in Seattle, for 40% off. Hypnosis is a scientifically verified and effective technique to help us change our lives. You'll learn how to guide yourself and others to lose weight, quit smoking, and be free of physical pain. Fascinating discussions, informative demonstrations, and interactive exercises will let you use hypnosis after only one weekend. Call 1-800-63-HYPNO or go to Impact.edu to learn more.
The Sacred Romance is a new CD produced by Ava and Dennis.
It's not love in a romantic way.
This music is straight from the heart and celebrates the light within us all. This music provides a welcome haven for the soul in these troubling times. To receive the CD or see Ava and Dennis live, visit www.thesacredromance.com or call them at 888-62-DREAM.
The powerhouse of Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Wow, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for supporting this show for 3 years. For those of you that would like to follow us as we expand and grow, we're now in 5 markets, from Seattle to Florida, and we would love to have you join our newsletters so that you could find out about upcoming guests, all the different channels we're on, and, you know, how you can tap in and have conversations with people like my guest today, Elizabeth Cunningham, the author of The Passion of Mary Magdalene. And, of course, you know, she's also the author of several other works, The Wild Mother, and I believe that was, Elizabeth, that was your first novel, right?
That's the first novel that I wrote. Wasn't the first one published.
Okay. Yeah. And so you can find out all about Elizabeth. There are links on my website as well. And you can go to www.thedrpatshow.com, thedrpatshow.com. And if you want to really tap in to what people are saying about this book, and how you can participate and just watch what's happening as Elizabeth goes from city to city, taking this book to right into your living room. You can go to www.passionofmarymagdalene.com. Great website. Elizabeth, thank you so much.
I just want to remind people that there's no E on the end the way I spell it, because sometimes people can't find it. And there's
right.
No at the beginning. It's just passionofmarymagdalene.com, no E at the end.
That's really interesting, isn't it? But, you know, if you Google it, you'll find it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
Google
good.
Elizabeth Cunningham, you'll find it. And, you know, if all of that's too much for you, go right to my website. There'll be a link and a picture of the book. You know, okay, I asked you during the break and before we left for break, I asked if you would sing.
Yes,
because I've heard you sing. I love this. Would you mind doing this for our listeners?
It might be a little bit scratchy, but I'll do it. This story begins in the night. There will be a dawn, I promise. I will also tell of mornings when I didn't want to wake, and noons full of harsh light and judgment. Sometimes there will be ease and shade in the afternoon, camaraderie and rest, even pleasure. There will be passion, I promise. Morning, noon, and night, season after season. Passion that breaks time open wide so you can taste the mystery inside. Well, this story begins in the night. It begins in the middle of the story, in the middle of the night. When the thief comes, when the bridegroom comes, when the bride has long since given up hope, and those foolish virgins, they're snoring, when only a whore is awake. And at that point, I speak the rest of the prologue as a dramatic piece.
I love what you just said. I can hear your passion.
Yeah, my passion's right in there.
I can hear it. And so when I read the book, I'm not surprised when I can feel in my cells the passion of Mary Magdalene, the passion of the story, and the surprise of this. So let me ask you this, Elizabeth. How did you come to write this? I mean, my understanding, or from what I've heard, is that this really came to you.
Yes, I'll have to I can tell you the story. It's a good story. I had finished writing The Return of the Goddess, which was my first attempt to really look at the goddess and Christianity in some kind of relationship, how they interact, where the problem was. And I felt, oh, I am all written out. I have nothing more to say. So I decided that I would just draw for a while, though I have no talent or training. So I was doing a line drawing, and a beautiful, voluptuous, big, naked woman appeared. And she's sitting in the kitchen, naked, and she told me her name was Madge. And I said, okay. And pretty soon she told me that I had to get some more magic markers, specifically fiery neon orange for her hair. And she wanted cartoon captions because she had a lot to say. She was very lippy. She'd sit in a red easy chair and talk about her theories of life while eating chocolate. At one point, while stepping into the bathtub, she's listening to Christian radio on the theory that amoral indignation keeps you spry, and she contemplates St. Paul and how we're all members of the body of Christ, and she thinks about members that aren't usually mentioned, their hands and feet, and then what else? So I said, you are a lot of fun. You are going to be a great character. And she informed me that she was a prostitute because she was a painter and couldn't sell her paintings. And I guess I could relate, being a novelist, having a hard time with publishing. So I said, well, geez, maybe you'd like to be in a novel about a retired prostitute who goes to Maine. And she's like, did you say retired? Honey, I'm not ready to be a retired anything. You give me a book of cartoons and then we'll talk. So I began actually drawing this book of cartoons as I listened to the congressional hearings during the first Gulf War, so that is how far this predates the Da Vinci Code. And she got her book of cartoons. It became a peace witness. It was on display at the Center for Book Arts in New York. And then one night I was thinking about Mary Magdalene, who knows why, and I made the connection Magdalene, Madge, a lot of the same letters.
Ah.
Red hair, Celtic Mary Magdalene, and I said to her, Celtic Mary Magdalene, would you be in a book about the Celtic Mary Magdalene? She said, yes. Finally, you figured it out. So then from that point on, she's been in my life. She's taken it over. I used to whine quite a lot about, you know, when I realized this thing will be one book, this is going to be three. And I'd sit there calculating how long it was going to take me to write. And she just had no sympathy. She said, and you have something better to do. And I don't have anything better to do. So this has become my life, my passion, my odyssey. And, oh, yeah, there was something else I was going to say. Yes, I want people to understand now that I have a new publisher. We're calling it the Maeve Chronicles.
Okay.
And that means you can read them in any order except that you got to read this one now, I tell people. Don't wait. But you don't have to have read Daughter of the Shining Isles, which will be re-released next year as a prequel, in order to read The Passion of Mary Magdalene. It is complete in itself, a standalone novel. All of them will be. And the next one is Bright Dark Madonna that I'm working on.
Well, I would actually say that. Yeah, it is a standalone. And so I would encourage all of you out there, you want to check it out, The Passion of Mary Magdalene. And, of course, you can get this pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, and if it's not in your bookstore, demand it.
Well, and, you know, let me just say this. I mean, it's really clear that we get, and I know this has been my experience, that, you know, we get downloads. And in your case, with the conversation, in all of us get these ideas.
Yes,
the
yes.
Next step, though, is to take it out. I want you to just mention something, because you just kind of briefly went by it. Because one of the questions I received from one of the listeners, knowing that you were going to come on, I have a newsletter that goes out, and one of the questions had to do with the Da Vinci Code. And what you just said is very important.
Mm-hmm.
This book was conceived, actually, way back.
Yeah, way back when I like to say when Dan Brown was in diapers, but I don't really know how old he is.
Right.
But he's probably younger than me.
Right. And, you know, and it's in, for my understanding, or what I, you know, my impression of the book is, there's the Da Vinci Code and then there's the Passion of Mary Magdalene. And they're not the same.
No, because actually the Da Vinci Code is set in contemporary times. It's in a very different genre. And he has a very different thing that he's trying to do. It's not directly about Mary Magdalene. He's
right.
Actually, I think he's, most of it focuses on all those theories around the Da Vinci's paintings and
exactly.
Secret societies, which I don't actually know all that much about. But it's not set in the first century, which mine is, as someone called it, a full body experience.
Yes.
one thing that people also ask me about is, why is there such a contemporary voice? And I think I just answered that she came to me first as a contemporary character. But also, I think those great archetypal characters, or forces like Jesus or Maeve, as I call her, they are not bound to time. They can tell us a story that's set in time, and I did a lot of research to get all the historical detail as accurate as I could, but they retell their stories whenever we need to hear them. So she's speaking to you and me. And
she really is.
That voice.
And that, I have to tell you that is what I really, really adored about the book, because it really made this easy to read. Because it really was a very interesting journey, in that you got the sense that you were talking about something very ancient and sacred. And at times I got the sense that I was right here smack in the middle of my, you know, upbringing in New York City.
Yeah.
And I loved both feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
I absolutely loved both feelings.
I'm glad that worked for you. That was very much, that was important to me. Because,
well,
I didn't want a false archaism, because I don't speak Aramaic or Latin or Greek. So I felt like, well, why would I confine myself to some false archaic voice?
Well, that's what I actually loved about the book, and that's what I think made this book so very easy. I think there was you know, one of my favorite lines in this book is, you know, is a statement that comes out, and you find this over and over again. And I think it's something like, I may be a whore, but I'm not your whore. And, you know, you get taken to the contemporary tone of this immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says that to one of her Roman oppressors.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk much more about this book. And, you know, for people that are not familiar with the book, what I'd love to do is have you just briefly talk about the essence of the book and the journey, because I think that's so important.
Yes.
For those of you listening, I'm here with Elizabeth Cunningham. We're talking about The Passion of Mary Magdalene. That is her latest book. And, of course, you can check it out on passionofmarymagdalene.com. MAGDALEN.com, and much more to come in this interview. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Bringing you around the world right from your desktop. VoiceAmerica.com.
NCD, a new oral detoxification product that reduces the effects of environmental toxicity and can help millions across the globe. Natural Cellular Defense is an effective oral detoxifier, a tool in the fight against toxicity. Join our Copious Health team to raise awareness about environmental toxicity and this safe new product. Go to copioushealth.com or call 206-423-6596. That's 206-423-6596. Copioushealth.com.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen, and you know me for the chicken soup for the soul, but right now I want to tell you that you've got to listen to my friend Dr. Pat. If you want insights that are out of sight, if you want to go to the next level in your life, you keep listening to this show, because she is so kind and generous that she even lets me recommend my website, markvictorhansen.com, and if you go there, we want to give you goodies. But Pat is giving you the goodies of a bigger, better mind-brain complex so you can get results that have results that are residual, so you get to have money freedom, time freedom, spiritual freedom, relationship freedom, and go to the highest level, which she's teaching you, which is your genius freedom.
Put money in the bank, not in your tank. Gas prices skyrocketing. Emissions polluting our air. This doesn't have to be your story. Save an average of 7 to 19% miles per gallon now with Ethos Fuel Enhancer, a revolutionary product currently being used by the U.S. government and China to significantly increase miles per gallon, extend your engine's life, and reduce toxic emissions. This non-hazardous, non-toxic fuel enhancer is available now by calling 1-877-919-5417. That's 1-877-919-5417. Take the money out of your tank and put it in the bank. Or visit ethosfuelpower.com.
Sitting by the fire, making memories. Let's pass around the coffee. Hear the whisper in the trees. Another day behind us. The moon is on the rise. Finding your music with Ava tonight.
Tune in Mondays and Fridays at 5 a.m. for Finding Your Music here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Bringing you around the world right from your desktop. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
And I know many of you are listening, and you're online, and you're at the office if you're listening to this live. And I want to remind you that you can send your questions to me through email. And as a matter of fact, I see some of you already know that, and I'll make sure that I get these questions on air. The email to send them to is live, L-I-V-E, at thedrpatshow.com, T-H-E-D-R-PatShow.com. With the new website, you will have a chat room on there so that you can communicate with me as I'm doing these interviews on Voice America and the other networks that I'm on. What I want to say is that you're tuning in right now to a conversation that I'm having with Elizabeth Cunningham, the author of The Passion of Mary Magdalene, and we're talking about her latest book. And again, I want to mention that the website is passionofmarymagdalene.com. My site will have a link, so there'll be many ways for you to tap in. Elizabeth, again, thank you so much for joining the show today.
It's really a pleasure.
All right, let's give everyone an overview of what this book is about.
Yeah, this book, there's a little tease of the prologue that I sang the very beginning of, really, has her in the midst of this holy whorehouse that she's created. And a Samaritan brings someone to her door because no one else will receive a stranger the way they will at Temple Magdalene because they're very suspicious. Everybody was very divided. Well, is he a Samaritan? Is he a Jew? Is he what? So this is a very moving scene. He gets delivered to her doorstep, and that is how they are finally reunited, having encountered each other in their early youth, which you can read about in Daughter of the Shining House, but you don't need to have read it. So this book picks up when she has been exiled for what she did to interfere with some Druid mysteries.
Mm.
And she's washed up on the shore of, actually Celtiberia. You don't hear about that. The story picks up when she's been captured. She's determined to get to Judea and Galilee, but she's captured by Roman slavers. She's in the heart of the Roman Forum. She's on a slave block, and she's sold into prostitution. And that, which brings me back to that theme. I wanted to not romanticize prostitution because it is also oppressive and exploitative, and many people are sold into it to this day.
Yes.
So she had that happen to her. In the course of her time in Rome, she has an encounter with the goddess Isis, who is an interesting and subversive goddess because she cut across class lines. Women from the senatorial class to the street prostitutes worshipped her, and that is one reason why the Romans didn't like her. And in the course of this story, actually, the Isis worshippers get some of them executed and exiled, just as the Jews did in 19. So the first half of this book is a really strong, exciting, almost reads like a mystery, an adventure story that's set in Rome. But what she learns there about how to survive and what loving your enemy really means lays the groundwork for the second part of it, which takes place in the terrain of the Gospels. And after they are reunited, the course of true love never did run smooth because this woman is not cut out to be a disciple. She is a force. She's feisty. She keeps him on his mettle. He keeps her on hers. Neither one, and I was saying the one thing that I've realized is that neither one converts to the other's belief system or these thing or worldview. But in practice, what they both do is practice a radical kindness, really radical kindness and inclusiveness. And they generate around them a very motley crew. And it's about including the people who are not usually included. And that is what they have in common when they eventually travel together after many. It's a very rich story, but this book takes you all the way through the crucifixion and what comes after, which is, I just really am so happy about how it turned out. But I'm not going to tell you.
No.
You're going to have to read.
Exactly.
But basically what I really want to say is that in the overview is that there are many books where Mary Magdalene or other people are the witnesses to Jesus' story, but this really is her story all the way through. And he is, of course, her soul's beloved, so he's a really important character. But it's her story.
It is her story. And one of the things I love about this is, and I think you touched on it in the conversation, in the overview, is that Mary Magdalene is a champion for outsiders. She is a champion for women, homosexuals, prostitutes, you know, people that we consider to be on the outside, not on the in group.
Yeah.
You know, and that is also what, as some believe, Jesus felt the same way.
Yeah, I think I really do believe they had that in common. He was always getting into trouble in the Gospels for eating with the wrong people and consorting with the wrong people. A lot of people don't realize how radical the Good Samaritan is. They think it's just about being nice and good. Now, the Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews. They were despised by the Jews. They were two antagonistic groups. To Jesus say, look, the Samaritan was the one who actually did the right thing, was a really radical statement.
Yes, and so that's kind of, you know, I don't think that's different from what's happening in today. I mean, what's going on today is there are people in an emergence right now Some people call it a global consciousness. Some people call it a shift in vibration, where there is what I would consider a small group of people, and small by the very fact that we have so many people on the planet. But there is a small group that says we need to really be out there and love everyone.
Yes.
We truly need to be out there and include everyone. You know, not be out there and be looking at changing the Constitution to exclude people. Mm-hmm. And so it's really timely that you would write a book that really has, in my opinion, the centerpiece of inclusivity.
Yes, that is the heart of it. Yeah, that's the heart of it.
And that's what I think is beautiful. Not only beautiful in the story itself, but beautiful in the way it's told. I mean, I mentioned earlier, and we were talking during the break, that, you know, this is a feisty conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those of you that are not used to being captivated by directness, you will probably have to sit back and relax and be open to this. But this is really a result of your research. And I really would love for you to share your research, because I think it's important for people to know that you have done research on this book and you have traveled.
Yes, I've done a lot of research, and at the same time, I also want it. One of the things that I like to say is that I am not presenting a new theory. One of the things people say, well, was there evidence that she was a cult? And there is no evidence of anything about Mary Magdalene, really, except for the little bit that we have in the Gospel, and the Gospel of Mary, the Gnostic Gospel that was written a couple of centuries later. But what I want to do is get the historical context right. I want to know, what were people gossiping about? What were they talking about when they were preaching in the temple porticos? What were they saying? So I did all that I could to find out what was the flavor of the times, what were the feelings, what were the antagonisms. So I did that kind of research, and actually it is not as far-fetched as it sounds. That I'm not saying she was a Celt, but the Roman Empire really connected a lot of worlds.
Mm-hmm.
They were occupying Judea. They had a puppet king in Galilee. They had taken over Gaul, which was a Celtic land. And they were trying to make incursions, and shortly would take over part of the British Isles. So their worlds were connected by the Roman Empire, and there were a lot of displaced people. I mean, in Rome, there was people from all over the world were there, enslaved by the Romans. So there was a lot of coming and going. So it's not impossible that they could have been connected that way. And I did go to the British Isles and Rome and Israel and France, which will appear in the next book, because who could resist that legend?
I know.
But I think that it's very important to say that I'm telling a story, and stories are a form of healing, and stories need retelling. And in fact, the canonical gospels and the non-canonical, they're all stories. They weren't like, well, this is what really happened, and this is the literal truth. No, they were telling a sacred story to a specific audience. And some terrible things happened because of that. For example, in the Gospel of John, he was writing after the temple was destroyed and the Jews were dispersed. So he had a vested interest in dissociating Christians from Jews because of Roman persecution. And that's given rise to terrible, terrible atrocities throughout history. So I think people really need to understand story is story. We tell and retell. Some stories open out into the mystery, and other stories really confine us. And I'm trying to tell a story that opens out into the mystery.
Well, it does definitely open out into the mystery, and I love the questions that it kind of leaves, at least in my mind. And I think that's what we're finding more and more, that we're being approached right now, I think, on this planet with an invitation to live in the question.
Yes.
And I think that's what, you know, you really you're bringing this to life for each and every one of us. And I can't help but ask you, and I gave a brief introduction of who you are, and you know, we can never really get to who one is with introductions like that, but I did mention that, you know, your journey, what did I say that you were? You were ninth generations of Episcopal priests.
Yeah.
So one would have to ask the question, I mean, how did your upbringing, how does the fact that you are in this nine generations of Episcopal, how does all of this factor in to your writing, The Passion of Mary Magdalene, and what does your family think?
Well, my forebears, including my father, are dead.
Mm-hmm.
My relationship with my father was quite troubled and a mixed kind of relationship.
Uh-huh.
He didn't, He really was hostile towards the idea of my writing, really hostile. He wanted me to be in direct social service, so writing was seen as self-indulgent. At the same time, I think that he would have, I think he came to understand that writing can be a form of ministry, and I think he would have loved this book for the humor and the irreverence, because he had that. He was a bit of a rebel himself.
Uh-huh.
And I realized as I talked about this book and wrote about this book that Temple Magdalene, which is this very inclusive place, my father's parish was like that. The parish that I grew up in, people tend to think of Episcopalians as being sort of these upscale people in the suburbs. We lived in a small town, and it was very like Temple Magdalene. Everybody was welcome there. We had people from all economic backgrounds and races and people who were insane and people who were this and people, all the outsiders were there at my father's.
Ah.
So I believe that had a really strong influence. And also I think that when you grow up, before you can read, you're hearing these stories, you're hearing that language. I think that had a huge impact on me. Sometimes it was really scary, because if you're a little kid and you're saying, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickednesses, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, provoking justice, wrath, and indignation against us. I mean, I did not have a good impression of God. My very earliest memory is a theological memory. I was 3 years old, and I confessed to my cousin who was taking care of me, my older cousin. And I said, I'm going to kill God and Jesus. I have a plan. And I did. I had it all worked out. They were going to be walking on the desert floor, and I was going to be on a cliff above them. I was going to roll a boulder on them, which tells you that I grew up in the 1950s and I watched cartoons. But that's how
I was watching the same cartoons.
I know.
I know exactly what you're referring to.
I was going to kill them. And that's one of my earliest memories. And the other earliest memory from the same summer is of standing in the surf and singing ecstatically. So both that ecstatic mystical tradition and my troubles with the patriarchal church those are my two earliest memories. So, but the church, you know, it's not – one thing about being a novelist is that you don't have to be a polemicist. So I see the richness and I see the wounding, and they're all there together, and I'm trying to work with that. I'm still working with that. And I chose not to become an Episcopal priest. I chose to write The Wild Mother instead. But sometime later in life, I found myself going to interfaith seminary. So I'm now an ordained interfaith minister, which mostly my ministry is about counseling. I have a counseling practice. So I'm really integrating those two things that my father thought could not be integrated. I found out after he died, his father shamed him for his ambition to write. And very likely his father shamed him. So somehow these two streams of ministry and writing, they're coming together now, and it's very satisfying.
Well, you know, a lot of times we get to walk away from the legacy, and we get to walk away from, you know, a pattern, a familiar pattern, and really step forth and say, you know, this is how this is going to be different.
Yes,
in
I
our
get
family.
To transform it and heal it. I believe that healing goes backwards and forwards in time, and I believe that somehow or other, that whole lineage, whatever wounds there were, the choices that I'm making are helpful backwards as well as forwards, I hope, I trust.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that story, because I think these are questions as people become more and more familiar with everything you're doing, and they, you know, they look at your bio, they look at the information. There's a question about, you know, how does one come to write a book that is so vividly describes, you know, a passion, an energy, a flow, as someone as notable as Jesus and Mary Magdalene, and part of it is our own stories. I mean, we bring ourselves to the table.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had to write that story, and I think that everything that I wrote before really prepared me to be able to take on something that huge and scary. And everything after, I feel like, is going to be extra credit. But
there we
are. Yeah, people ask me, well, what, you know, I can say this to you because you have your own conversations like this, but when I decided I was going to take this on, I was actually a Quaker at the time, and I was sitting in Quaker meeting, and I said to Jesus, I wasn't asking his permission, I was more putting him on notice. I said, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to write this really outrageous book. You know, this character, Madge, she's going to be Maeve, the Celtic Mary Magdalene. You know, you're going to be in this book. And I said, is there anything that you would like to say? I wasn't. And he said, yes, there is one thing I would like to say. Please don't make me a prig. And I said, okay, I can handle that request. And one of the really funny and touching things to me is that many of my pagan readers or goddess readers who have really been wounded by Christianity and who have said, that's it, I'm not having anything more to do with that, I'm done, they read the book because they know my work and they want to read it. And Jesus, the Jesus in my book gets to them and touches them, and they find that they can, again, have that connection. And that's one of the reasons also, I think one of the motivating forces for writing the book is that I'm not inside the church anymore. I'm not inside the orthodoxy. I can't be. So writing from this point of view gives me, and I believe others, a way to connect with the essence and goodness of that story and the beauty of that story and of that person, Jesus, from a place that does not confine and damage them.
Really, not from a place of fear. Let's take a short break because, you know, we've got more to talk about with Elizabeth Cunningham, and we'll take a short break here on the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Elizabeth about what's next, where does this go, and we want to make sure that all of you have information about the website, how to get in contact with her, and if, in fact, you are in the area that she is going to be traveling to, I want you to know about that. Stay tuned. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, more with the passion of Mary Magdalene and Elizabeth Cunningham. Stay tuned.
The Internet's premier talk radio station, VoiceAmerica.com.
Occasional digestion got you down? After meals, do you feel bloated, heavy, tummy hurt? Does occasional heartburn and indigestion or a just plain tired feeling take the energy out of your day? Vital digestive enzymes are needed to properly digest food, and E12 provides them all. Customers often report a dramatic life improvement. Call now 1-866-NO-BLOAT. That's right, 1-866-NO-BLOAT, and discover E12 food enzymes, the digestive secret thousands have benefited from. June is busting out all over, and so is the Dr. Pat Show. Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, the host of the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. Now, live coast to coast, we are thrilled to be announcing all of the ways that you can join our thriving community of listeners. Whether you are a daytime listener, drive time listener, or internet listener, there is something here for everyone. Our new website has 24/7 listening, podcasting, live Thrive Chat, and the latest on national and local events. Oh, and don't forget our library of resources to connect you with products and services that support positive change, honors the dignity of the human spirit, and is committed to healing the planet. For more information and to listen online, go to www.drpatworldwide.com. That's www.drpatworldwide.com, and tap in to your unlimited possibilities.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williamson. I so appreciated the opportunity to talk to Dr. Pat about the Department of Peace legislation currently before Congress. You can learn more about that at www.thepeacealliance.org. And like everything else Dr. Pat talks about, this is a good one.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to discover what's preventing you or your business from obtaining your goals, dreams, and vision. The Inquiring Mind is your partner. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. as Stephanie Durham, professional life coach, presents ACES, Authenticity, Choices, Empowerment, and Success. Spanning 25 years of successful business tenure, in addition to over 4 years of training with Caroline Mace at the CMED Institute, Stephanie's authenticity and vast knowledge helps you objectively explore wise choices with her finely attuned facilitator skills, leading you to personal empowerment and ultimate success. Do you know you have power to create what you want in your life and in business? You do. This message will self-absorb in 5 seconds. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-866-461-6463.
The powerhouse of Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. And yes, I am here with Elizabeth Cunningham, and we're talking about her latest book, The Passion of Mary Magdalene, and many, many other things. Her other novels include, of course, The Return of the Goddess, a Divine Comedy. Let's see, How to Spin Gold, A Woman's Tale, Daughter of the Shining Isles. And I've got an email here from one of you, and thank you, David. Thank you so much for your email. David would like for you to just say a little bit more about the book that you're getting ready to write, which we refer to as a prequel.
Actually, I'm not getting ready to this. I'm really glad for this question so I can clarify.
Exactly.
Daughter of the Shining Isles is the prequel.
Thank you.
There's confusion about it because I had another publisher back in 2000 that brought that book out. I broke with that publisher for a variety of reasons. And when I found my new publisher, Monkfish Book Publishing Company, who was really wonderful to work with, we decided that the book we needed to lead with was The Passion of Mary Magdalene because it was so central, so important right now. So next year, in spring 2007, Daughter of the Shining Isles will be re-released, and I would strongly urge that people wait for that book to support me and the publisher. But you can only get it. It's a rare book now. You can get it for $130 used on Amazon, but don't. No one but whoever is selling it profits from that. The publisher doesn't. I don't. And it's not that long a wait. It's coming out in 2007, the spring.
See, and David knew this.
Yeah, that's the prequel. And the sequel, I'm going to be writing it as soon as I get off tour. I'm about 200 pages in. It's called Bright Dark Madonna. And it really covers everything that happens after. You know, Jesus left when he was 33. I don't like the plot line that he went to Tibet. That doesn't work for me. So he left. And she's there with us. And a lot of us live past 33. Some of us raise children. Some of us take care of aging parents. We face our own mortality and our own aging. She's going to be with us the whole way. And I felt the need for a companion like that in my life. So that's one of the reasons that book will get written. And it's going to be wild and exciting, too. I hardly even know. I'm going to write it to find out what happens.
And I bet you'll get some help in writing it.
I better. I better not be in this by myself. Yes.
I don't think you are.
Yes.
I don't think that there's much that you're going to be able to do where you have to worry about being in this
yes.
by yourself.
Yes.
It's clear to me that, you know, you are hearing messages of stories that need to be told,
yeah.
and we're very grateful for you telling them. Now, I touched earlier on this idea of spiritual counseling, and I don't want to blow by that because I really want to have people know what we're talking about, what you're doing, and how you work with people, with you know, without just sort of a quick brush statement. So let's talk about spiritual counseling because you and I had a conversation during the
yeah.
break about this field emerging.
Yes, and I think one of the real big differences, having had a lot of clients who have come from traditional psychotherapy, is that. The traditional therapy, I think, works on the model of what is wrong with someone, and let's give it a name and let's treat it. So it's kind of the pathological model or the disease model. Spiritual counseling, as I was trained and as I understand it, doesn't make that assumption. It makes the assumption that there is a mystery unfolding here and that there's a person emerging here. It's more like you're a midwife than anything else, and you're trusting the process. And you're trusting that within that person, they know their own way, and you're helping them to figure out how they work. So that's one of the ways I work. I listen. I feel that although I was trained as a spiritual counselor, my best training is reading and writing novels because novels allow for mystery and ambiguity. They allow for recognizing that something that seems terrible also has a gift in it. So I work on that, and I work with that person. I find out, you know, there are people learn things different ways. There are people who really see visions. There are people who are really need to get things through the body. There are people that get things by hearing. I want to know who they are and support them and how they find out what they need to know.
And you know, and that's what your books do as well. Your books really get to the essence of letting each and every one of us know who these characters are and really know them in a very, very personal way, in a way that we can actually become immersed in the book, become part of the story. And that's what I think is magical about what you've done.
Well, I'll quote from the. I have these little cards that I give out at readings, and one of them is where Maeve says, "Being a healer, because she is a healer, is no different from being a whore, a paradoxical mix of the intimate and the impersonal, a receiving of another human being without judgment." And whatever I might know as a technique or use as a technique, like guided meditation or this or that or the other thing, the real key is that I'm receiving that person without judgment.
Mm.
And I think that's where healing comes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Elizabeth Cunningham, for joining us today. I would like to ask you, as we close this show, what would you like to say? What's your personal message for our listeners today?
I think that one of the things that I didn't mention is that someone asked me, well, do you believe that the divine became human? And what I really want to say is I believe that the human becomes divine, and that Jesus was mediating divine and human nature, Maeve is mediating divine and human nature, and we are mediating divine and human nature. And I make no judgment on the human, that there's in-breath and out-breath, expansion and contraction. That's the rhythm of life, and we need to treasure all of it.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Much success.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Much success to you. Again, the book is The Passion of Mary Magdalene. You can get it online anywhere you like. And please check out the website, which is passionofmarymagdalene.com, and find out where Elizabeth will be and her tour. And much success to you. And again, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy.
All righty then. For everyone out there, we'll be back next week. Just want you to know, my guest next week will be Lynn Andrews. We'll be talking about many things, but her latest book, of course, is called Writing Spirit. So for those of you that have tuned in today and have tuned in and follow the work that we are doing, our goal was to be the expansion of spirit in me, through me, and out me, and we are finding that we are being presented in places that we could not even imagine across this country, and are very grateful for that. So if you want to find out about the shows that we have, please go to www.thedrpatshow.com, and you will see a list of what's going on. Thank you all for joining the show today. Please honor who you are, every breath that you take. Know that you are loved. Know that I love you and support you in your journey. Make yourselves a great week.
Thank you for listening to The Dr. Pat Show, radio to thrive by. To contact Dr. Pat, visit thedrpatshow.com. Tune in next Tuesday for another dynamic hour of The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile.